This episode of the View from the Rock podcast is brought to you by Sign Dog Northwest. They're your source for custom signs, banners, boat names, fleet graphics, and more. Custom design services available. This episode is also brought to you by Merle Inc., the premier custom home builder in the Clee Ellum area, and a proud featured home builder in Suncadia Resort in Tumble Creek. Finally, this episode is also brought to you by Rob Thomas Drywall, the number one drywall company in Ellensburg and Kittitas County. Welcome back to the View from the Rock podcast. I'm your host, Ruck, here in the Yellow Dog Studios with Swap and Morgie. We're fresh off our conquering victory with the Anacortes Seahawks on Friday Night Lights. We got a couple guests in the studio as well. And today we're going to be talking about top three school lunch foods. And we're going to be diving into some MTV Unplugged. Mr. Rowan also just in the building. Swap, how we doing?
Doing good. It's the first weekend of the school year, so it's kind of a watershed moment here in the Great Northwest.
I feel very good today because I had a good night's sleep. I was exhausted last night.
Yeah, yesterday was a grind. 3 days of teaching, coming off 78 days off, was like the Boston Marathon.
That first day, I legitimately thought, I don't know how I can do this 5 days a week. And it was an early release day.
Well, everyone says that you get the pass and Swap and I don't, now that Swap has moved to full-time PE. Yeah, baby.
I know, but that was a big week of setting some expectations for students.
We probably had 1,000 interactions in 2 days with giving out 300 lockers.
I think anybody in the general public that questions teachers and what they do and how they live their lives should come into a PE locker room on locker handout day with...
without cussing.
400 kids trying to do a combination lock.
So here's the deal. Everyone would like to say, oh, you don't work the summers. It must be so hard for you. Well, it's not that hard to become a teacher, if we're being honest. So if you have ever thought that, join the profession, buddy. There's a lot of spots available.
We need subs.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. I think next year I'm going to call in sick on locker handout day.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. Because you can't write sub plans for that. You need to write a novel.
We have some distracting guests here in the studio. Is there something you guys would like to share with us?
There's a lot of giggling right now in the studio audience.
Hey, Jason, part of you also feeling really good this morning has maybe been some recent changes. Do you want to talk about those?
Just an annual thing.
Yeah, your annual thing. Can you tell us about your annual thing?
Yeah, I'm on day 15 of not drinking.
And?
And it's amazing.
But aren't you also eating healthy?
Yes, eating very healthy.
There's an empty banana peel next to you.
And like a energy drink or something. What is that?
It's a Spark.
Yeah.
So I'm not drinking coffee currently. Well, nice. I haven't been for a while.
I'm picking up little waves of energy just looking at your Spark right now.
The podcast time right now is kind of getting into my snack time too. So, but I, you know, when you put your head down on the pillow and then all of a sudden you wake up and it's 6 and you didn't even move.
It is like,
holy. It's crazy.
It is incredible what sobriety can do to your sleep.
So, what does a snack look like for you right now? Is it like rotisserie chicken?
No, carrots, cucumbers. No carrots. Yeah, some cucumbers from the garden. Some almond butter.
So, like when you're eating vegetables, are you just eating them raw?
Yes,
because I need ranch on every vegetable.
No,
okay,
raw or with some like little prepackaged hummus.
Yeah.
Oh,
love Costco.
I love hummus.
Yeah.
A little healthier, a little protein.
Yeah. So tonight I'll have a nice salad with tomatoes, cucumbers, a little onion, some carrots, red pepper, and then chicken.
Nice.
I'm gonna have a bacon cheeseburger and a couple IPAs.
Yeah, that sounds better.
That was kind of in my brain too. So is this something that you do just once every year?
I do it twice, kind of like a little reset.
Because I know I feel like you normally start in January. Both. I didn't realize you normally do this during the school year.
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's good to recalibrate.
Because summer is a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I've been and a witness. Few others.
Yeah.
So.
I totally understand.
It's, you know, a nice little reset.
Yeah. It's good to recalibrate.
I know.
My version.
As your father-in-law would say. Doesn't he say that?
Yeah, you got to recalibrate.
Yeah.
My version of that is just that once the school year hits, I work as hard as I can to not have any alcohol during the week.
All year.
One beer on a Tuesday night, I just feel like I can feel it the rest of the week. And it's just miserable.
Hmm.
Swap?
Hey, all of our bodies are different. Just because I do it doesn't mean I think you should. Swap. Also, you do a little cleanse sometimes in January, though.
Yeah, I do January. I go pretty hard in January, and it's kind of my annual thing.
Yeah. So we got a little fall sports preview. Last night, Seahawks against the Bainbridge Spartans. Final score was 55-7, I believe. We were announcing that game on Anacortes High School Live. That was a good time.
Football team looks really good. And I thought they were going to be pretty good this year. They looked really good. I think Bainbridge is kind of a decent team. And we could have scored 100 points.
You know, they had that turnover, that fumble on like the 9 or 8. I thought they would have scored there. You know, it's interesting to see the other teams in other leagues.
Yeah.
And if they're a third place team in their league, they get into the state tournament, they would be a fifth place team in our league.
Yeah.
Maybe sixth.
Yeah, right.
I mean, Burlington beat Squalicum last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that kind of surprised me. But it'll be interesting to see kind of how it all plays out and how our league goes. It was fun to watch, though, last night. We got a lot of weapons. I think their talk is that they want to win another one and get a three-peat, and I didn't know how realistic that was, but after watching last night, that's what their goal should be.
I mean, it's in everybody's head that the Twins are gone, the Beaner Twins, Rylan Lang, and many other players like Easy, Contino.
Tyler Olson.
We lost a lot of really quality players, so it would make sense that you'd have a little bit of a drop-off, but I don't know that I really saw that last night. I just would say maybe their winning, at least based upon the first game, is going to look slightly different. They were really throwing it to all of their guys.
Yeah.
They had weapons everywhere, it felt like. They ran the ball just fine. It just didn't seem like... I judge a team based upon when you need it on third down or fourth down, what do you do? And on all those situations, it was put the ball in their quarterback's hands, Ryan Harrington.
And they looked really polished last night. A lot of teams' first game out, they're still working on things, and they really looked like they were firing all cylinders for a first game. So we'll see how it all shakes out. I mean, it's everything's great when you're 1-0. Let's see how it is 3 weeks into October, you know.
I'm interested to see, you know, the wild card, one of them this year is Zeke.
Yeah.
Because he didn't play very much last year.
No, but his speed, and you saw it a couple times last night, it's like when he gets a step or he's in open space, it's like snap of the fingers and he could be gone.
Yep.
He has a different kind of speed. Ryan Harrington's fast, and then there's Zeke fast. It's track fast.
Yeah.
It's, you know, Jawaren Hooker. It's those guys that we have seen in college football that do both, and then when you see him on the field, you're like, they have a set amount of plays for them. And when they get the ball, it's a different.
Even though I hate this team, it reminds me of like one of their 10 running backs from Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know.
And they always have little fast guys.
They do. And Oregon today against Oklahoma State looked a lot like we did last night.
I just need one more point in that game, and then I win my bet.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of, I'm on fire today.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Because we were cold for a couple weeks.
We went cold.
Yeah,
we and did. And that happens.
Yeah.
I said a positive prayer to the machine this morning, which I have not done yet.
The kiosk?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the kiosk listened.
Praying to the kiosk. Wow.
I prayed the Chiefs win is what I did.
I don't know if we can say that or not.
There's a whole lot of viewers that are very offended by that. I don't really care. I think that people who actually are part of the Chiefs win community probably don't want you praying to him. And the people that pray don't want you praying to him either. That's Jason Morgenthaler, folks. I want to complain for a second about how I wish that Oregon's head coach was, I don't know, more hateable. Like, did you see his comments this week after Mike Gundy, the coach from Oklahoma State, complained and basically said, well, Oregon's got a lot more money to buy players with. And his response was essentially, hey, you know, that sounds like something that someone says when they want an excuse for losing. We buy our players because we like to win.
And you know what?
That's true, though. It's
like, I agree.
Perfect.
I 100% agree with you.
$4 million. Yeah, that's the going rate now.
And Dan Lanning.
And a Lambo.
If you look at Dan Lanning's bio, he was an elementary PE teacher like 12 years ago.
Oh, man. He's doing the Lord's work.
There's still hope for us.
Oh, I don't think so. But, no.
What, he going to go down to elementary first? Brutal. Do some dinosaur tag. So are you going to also, I see we have a couple other sports in here. Are you going to give us a volleyball preview, Coach Swap? Is that possible?
Well, they had a jamboree the other night, and it went okay. I mean, they're going to be fine. You know, they open up Monday. They play LeConnor at home, and then Thursday at Burlington, which is always a tough one. Tournament a week from today at Everett. So they're going to have a lot of volleyball here this week. We'll know more about them then. But they've got a couple of good players and a lot of kids that their first time on varsity. If everything comes together, they could be just fine.
Yep. And then we got girls soccer tonight, as of this recording, going to be their first game. I don't honestly know too much other than I think that they're starting to get they have an older team. They have some players at this point, I believe, who've committed to colleges, like Jordan Zaharis, going to be playing at Oregon next year, D1 soccer recruit. So
that's big time.
It is. Yeah.
And then cross country. Jason, you want to tell us about cross country?
I'm excited.
The bar is high.
We got one runner in here. My son Rowan's sitting here.
Rowan, do you want to say anything? A little cross country preview for the boys and girls teams, or just the boys? All right.
We're gonna have a little guest.
Yeah, give him the headphones.
Cross country preview here.
I'll ask you some questions. Okay. Tell us. What you guys have been doing this off season to be ready for this season?
Well, the top four boys, we went to Flagstaff this summer for 3.5 weeks.
And what's special about Flagstaff?
It's at altitude, so less oxygen.
And what does that do for you, having less oxygen? Don't you need that to breathe? Isn't that going to be an issue?
Well, it builds your aerobic fitness
in
your lungs.
So I can imagine, like, if your body's used to lower oxygen, when you go to a higher oxygen place, like sea level, it would be easier is what you're saying. Okay. So then what are the goals for the men's team this year?
Well, we want to make it to state.
Yep.
And get, I don't know, top three maybe.
And what's the, like, path to state? What do you guys need to do? Do you know how, like, where do you need to finish at the end at districts?
We need to get, I think, top three teams make it to districts.
Yeah. So okay.
We just need to get top three.
And do you have some individual goals?
I want to run around like 16:20-ish, and I ran like 17:20 last year.
And how far do you guys run?
A 5K.
5K. Okay. So what is that, like, a mile pace you're running? Because most people here in America don't know the meters. They're used to the imperial system. They hear the 5K. And they got no idea. So can you kind of convert that roughly? Like, what mile pace would that be?
Well, a 16:30 is like 5:20 pace, so like
five minutes 20 seconds per mile is what you're running.
Yeah,
5:20 a mile. I thought you were talking about running around the block.
5:20 a mile, and 5K is roughly equivalent to how many miles?
3.1.
So you're running 5:20 miles three times in a row, no rest. In other words, I never could do that in my entire life. Incredible. Okay. So the question, I don't know if you heard it, listeners, was what was your mileage per day or per week while you're in Flagstaff?
I ran around 50 miles a week. So like 5 to 12 miles a day.
Wow. And is that kind of the normal for high school boys? Is there what's the range, would you say?
Probably 50 is normal for a bunch of people, and then
like for varsity.
Yeah. Okay. And then there's people that run like 70 miles a week.
Wow. You probably got to kind of build up to that, right?
Yeah. Then? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Do you have any insider information you knew about the girls team? I mean, you guys all practice together. Do you have an idea of how they're looking, the size of the team, anything like that?
I've heard pretty good things about them.
Okay. A lot of girls out?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks for joining us, Ron. Appreciate it. Have a good season. Listeners, that's a little weird for me because that's actually one of my athletes. I am one of the cross-country coaches, but that was good. That was good. Way to go, Ron.
Nice work, boy.
Yeah. All right. Do we have any other sports we need to preview? I mean, there's girls swimming. And
they're always good.
They're good. They'll go to state. They'll be top three probably. Probably fighting against Sehome or someone like that.
Yeah, boo.
Boo.
Well, we're fighting. The cross-country team is going to be fighting against Sehome to make it.
And you're up at Sehome next weekend.
Yes.
And Saturday. Football plays Sehome Friday.
Yep, Friday night. So this is an anti-Sehome week.
Wow.
So what can Sehome do?
They can suck it.
Okay.
In capital letters. So
just wanting to make sure.
I can't wait.
Boom. Bump set spike.
We got the Seahawks tomorrow?
Yeah, against the Niners. A lot of info being shared on the fantasy football text thread yesterday.
Yes, there was.
Christian McCaffrey has a calf injury.
And now it's breaking news on ESPN?
Is it? Of yesterday or now?
Well, is it fake?
Well, at first it was the calf hurts. He's limited in practice. And then the next day he's like, I'm fine. I've been playing forever.
Didn't practice.
There were pictures of him hopping around where he did not look hurt at all.
So is he questionable or doubtful?
Currently questionable, which is kind of a bummer because
that means that
pretty sure I have him on my team.
I'd rather he was doubtful.
Well, I hope he gets 0 points, Rock.
You know,
I'm not playing you, but I'm playing Sign Dog.
I know. I'm playing Kyle. CeeDee Lamb I had the other night. He had 20 points, but he should have had more.
I had a great start, 35-0.
Who'd you have?
On Brad. I had Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Tush push.
How are they so good at the tush push?
I don't know.
Like, what do they do? I want to know what they do.
Well, why can't everyone do it?
Why can't every team do whatever they do? Because not everyone has
Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts squats 600 pounds. What other quarterback does that? There's a reason that Jalen Milroe came in. Yeah, he squats 600.
Wow.
Jalen Milroe came in preseason for us to do the same thing because he's also super strong for a quarterback.
Hmm. Okay.
I think Jason Kelsey was part of that original.
Yeah.
As the center.
Yep.
Yeah.
All the linemen hate it, though.
It's so painful. It got to a point where 10 owners voted to ban it.
Well, watching that game, the thing is, if they have a lead in the fourth quarter, and it's over, because like if they get 5 yards on first down, it's over.
Yeah. I like that pick for QB.
I think it's a good
pick. He's a touchdown machine.
Yeah. I don't like my QB.
Well, I think you're projected ninth.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of things I'm projected to do that aren't going to happen. Okay. Maybe that's another one of them.
One more thing. How about the Mariners?
They're done. They're broken. It's over.
They don't really exist to me right now. I'm much happier living that kind of lifestyle.
I spent 4.5 months not watching them, I could name 4 starters. Then,
yeah,
I can name more now.
But it's your fault.
Yes, because when I started watching, they started losing in August.
They came out of the trade deadline 8-1, and then you started watching.
And I don't know, but what it is, but and now I'm not going to watch until
they start winning.
Yeah, or the end of September.
No, it's crazy. They're in a playoff spot right now, and I don't even want to watch them.
It's unreal. Your line of prepare to be disappointed has been going through my mind this whole season, and I just continue to wait for it to happen. And now that it's happening, it's just...
Well, and also you look at Cal's BA.
Yeah.
243 or something.
Well, it just continues to slide. And yeah, they say a lot of it is that home run derby jinx.
Maybe.
There might be something to that.
How many home runs does he have?
51. But, you know, I think more of it is you're catching every day.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just hard. And, you know, they go back east and it's 95 degrees with humidity. I mean, that's hard. Wearing gear. I know they get paid a lot and everybody says, well, he's, you know, he gets paid a lot. He gets paid millions to do that. But it's hard. And I think you break down.
So... I'm done talking about the Mariners.
Me too.
You guys have here something about the Purple Club, which was from the broadcast last night, and we didn't mention it. Do we need to mention it, correct something about it?
So it's not just Sign Dog that's part of that. It's part of Saba as well.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool though, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, there's guys like underneath a tent just beyond the north end zone, and it's all sold out for the year. I think it's like 11 or 12 10 to 12 people you get in there.
It's like a VIP for the game.
Yeah.
So to recap, if you didn't listen to the broadcast last night, at Seahawks Stadium for football games, they put up a big tent with seating in the north end zone that's just for people who purchase the Purple Club, which is $1,000 for one.
$1,100.
And is that for a game?
One game.
And so you can have 12 people in there. So it could be like $100 a person. And then that includes food, which people will get from the
concession stand.
Concessions and bring down to you.
Yes. You don't have to leave your seat.
Right? They could put them in that booth we were in last night. Yeah. That was 115 degrees.
Well, the last time we did the broadcast, I think it was October.
Yeah.
So it was a little colder.
Yeah. It was chilly.
Yeah.
Last night was not chilly.
So last night's game was sponsored by Keystone Building.
Chris Yon.
Yeah.
Friend of the podcast.
I don't know the other three coming up, but the last game, home game we have regular season is senior night. It's Halloween, and that one is sponsored by Sign Dog.
Okay.
So he has that for senior night. I don't know the other three.
Well, that's great, but I think you can reach out to either Sign Dog or possibly Saba if you're interested in.
They're taking reservations or for next year?
For 2026.
Oh yeah.
So if you want in, I guess maybe the only way to get in would be if you can find out someone who's already purchased it and see if they have like a spot available for you, right?
Yes.
Potentially?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe the price is too low. Yeah, right? Maybe the price needs to be more. Hey, before we move on, you guys, before we got on air, I feel like we're talking about some bets. Do you guys have any? This is our hot bet segment, unofficially. You know any hot bets right now that, you know, obviously today's bets are not going to help anyone. So is there anything, generally speaking, that you guys are doing?
Well, I'm following the guy on ESPN.
Stanford Steve.
Well, him, and then also Joe Fortenbaugh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So they have a show now daily called ESPN Bet.
Yeah, and you can find that on ESPN
Bet. So I am currently recording that.
Okay.
During work hours.
Yeah.
And then watching it.
Not watching during work,
though. No.
No, never. Of course not.
We would never. We don't have the capability of doing that in our office.
No.
Isn't it amazing we're at the point now where ESPN has a show that's just about betting?
Oh, it's great. It's
incredible.
So then I'm literally with a sticky note writing down up arrow, down arrow, over under.
Since I share an office, like
money line.
Since I share an office with Mr. Morgenthaler, you'd be amazed at the amount of sticky notes he can produce.
And you tend to use shapes and symbols because you're not sure about.
I just don't want to write. Language. I don't want to write up or like over. So like that means like betting the over. I just do an up arrow.
Because writing betting up the, would be hard.
Writing over. Writing over is harder than an arrow. Or under. Down.
So you're all about efficiency. Yeah. I understand. It makes sense.
So to... yes. It's, and it's I was a little late on two bets because the game started at 9 a.m. this morning. So I would have... I would have bet two of the games, like Iowa State.
Yeah, bet the under. Anytime Iowa's involved, bet the under.
Well, the first game, it was the over, and today was 43.
And what did it end up?
29.
Oh,
wow.
Was the total.
Yeah.
So every game this year, I'm betting the under on the Iowa game.
I was going to say, yeah, Iowa's always under. They don't know what offense is.
And then Oregon bet the over.
Yep. And then... because they're so good. UCLA UNLV tonight is the over. I'm betting that.
And that game is at UNLV.
Yeah.
I kind of like them in
and
that.
And you
game.
Decided the over because
they Stanford were... Steve.
Okay. I wasn't sure if there's like metrics he, you're he looking was, at.
He was 3 out of 4 on last week's bet, so I'm 75%
yeah.
off his bets.
I mean, that wins.
I mean, the goal is just you're plus $1 at yeah, least.
Every time.
Yeah.
Yep.
But we were, yeah, there was a cold streak, but I think we're back. Or at least I am.
Well, I'm not. I'm still trying to recover from the cold streak. And I'll get there. I didn't go out today. I was going to. It's a good thing I didn't because I just got a text that all my UFC guys lost.
So all four of those?
Yes.
So I did follow you on that.
I'm sorry.
So now I'm 2-1. But all four?
Well, I think so.
And actually, a guy next to me, he goes, what are you doing, betting UFC? I go, yeah, I got a really good intel.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And he goes, can I take a photo of that? I go, yeah. And then he bet money on it.
Well.
Don't even know him.
Hopefully he has money to spare. He's a Packer
fan. Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible.
Okay. So what do we got next?
Well, I think we're ready for a musical genre, MTV Unplugged, unless you have something else that you need to mention.
No, MTV Unplugged. What do you got to say about that, Mr. Morgenthaler?
Yeah, can you educate
that was,
me?
That was kind of a big event. In
so
our
early 90s, when MTV was still MTV and played music all the time, they came out with bands going to New York. I don't know what studio. And do an unplugged session, anywhere from 6 to 10 songs. Very intimate crowd.
Yeah.
Like, I would have loved to have been to some of those. I don't know how you got invited to that.
I know. Some of them are legendary as well. It says here on the World Wide Web that the kind of the urban legend is that it was inspired by a performance in the 89 MTV Video Music Awards when John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora did an acoustic set.
Of Wanted Dead or Alive?
I don't know what song they did.
Wow.
But MTV claims that that was not the impetus behind it, but that was it was already in production. But that's kind of the urban legend is that that is what spawned it.
And then it took off, and I think... I mean, I didn't realize that it went that long. There's a few bands that it got into the 2000s. But for me, it was more of like 1991 to 95.
Yeah. And you see it here on what I'm looking at online. And it's broken down kind of by eras. But 89 to 92 is kind of that heyday.
And so I go ahead.
To rewind for all of the younger listeners, MTV was a channel on TV that played music videos
24 hours a day,
all the time. And when we say unplugged, that just means acoustic. Like you're taking the
right
electricity or power out of the instrument. So it's all you know.
And like,
Mr. well, you're Morgenthaler still plugging said. In an acoustic guitar.
Yeah,
potentially, or you could have a microphone in front of it,
but very stripped down.
Yeah,
and in a very intimate setting. And what it did was it showed off a lot of their talents.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because so, what we saw to that point was just videos, which yes. are, you know, super produced.
Yep.
And
most likely lip syncing.
Yes.
Do you feel like after some of these bands came out with unplugged albums, well, is that, I guess I need to rewind. So when these first came out, it was a live show. So it was a live show then that was being aired on MTV. So once those came out on MTV... they eventually, I assume, became albums, but in the
I don't think all of them did.
Not all of them, but okay. but some did, yes. and some became like
legend.
Huge yeah. albums.
So, do you think that there were some of these musicians that ended up getting a better reputation for their musical abilities because there's so much less that can cover it up? Like maybe
I would
they're
say
a better singer than I thought.
So. I would say maybe as. The genre as a whole, even more so than specific musicians.
Genre as in like grunge?
Just rock or grunge.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think when you think of like the kind of the seminal MTV Unplugged performances, you think of Nirvana, you think of Pearl Jam and Alice in Chains.
So when you I looked up today and I don't know where I got it from, but it said top 15 MTV Unplugged performances.
Mm.
And it started with 15 and went down to 1.
Did you list those?
I didn't, but 1, 2, and 3
were the ones I just named.
Yeah. Nirvana number 1.
And I think Nirvana's number 1. It's not my favorite, but yes. it's probably in my top
Pearl
3 or
Jam
four.
2, Alice in Chains 3.
So for me, Alice in Chains would be 1.
It had like Stone Temple Pilots was like number 8.
Yeah.
Jimmy Page, Robert Plant.
See, I don't even remember that one.
And they didn't invite John Paul Jones.
Wow.
Why not?
I don't know.
Because you know when you watch that documentary, it didn't seem like
well,
there was
then
any...
that was interesting. Yeah. Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Oasis. And they had just got done with What's the Story, Morning Glory, that album.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't realize all of these, but like...
So I mean, Kiss shocks me. Kiss would be on that.
And Kiss played... They played some songs that weren't some of their more well-known songs, but one song they did play in their Unplugged set was Hard Luck Woman.
Yeah.
And I love that song. And it is, and I think that version of it from Unplugged is amazing.
You know, and I didn't come up with like my top Unplugged songs from MTV.
And I'm going to throw this out there. Just, I found a playlist that's like called MTV Unplugged Essentials. So I'm sure there's more I could find, but I do have some. So yeah. if you want me to play some at some point, I can.
Well, maybe as we talk about it, if it,
so, like, if you think about Nirvana, I mean, I don't like Nirvana Unplugged.
Oh, really?
Like, as a, like, just Unplugged. I like them, like, with full-on electric guitar and, like...
And the like songs I like from Nirvana Unplugged aren't like the Nirvana hits you hear.
Yeah, like, I love Something in the Way.
Yeah.
And that's Unplugged. But like
on this playlist, the only one they have from Nirvana is The Man Who Sold the World.
That's a great one.
It
I
is,
love that song.
But that's not one of my favorites
no?
either. But like On a Plane. Yeah, I mean this is one of like and this was 1995.
This is Nirvana, Man Who Sold the World.
And this is like really close. I mean, he died
shortly thereafter.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was great.
And I think my favorite Nirvana song off that MTV Unplugged is Where Did You Sleep Last Night?
Yeah, and I didn't even write that down.
And that's one Lanigan did. He had that on one of his early albums. I think it was The Winding Sheet. And Cobain actually sang backup for him on that.
Yeah.
Before MTV Unplugged.
Yeah.
I can try to find any songs you want me to, but this list that I'm looking at, the ones that kind of jump out at me because I have heard less of this, is Black Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
So there's an MTV Unplugged.
Yeah. Out. It's amazing.
And then I see that there's one by Alice in Chains, Rooster.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be incredible.
No, it is. And I mean, your favorite twop is Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
But that's my two are Pearl Jam and Alice in Chains. So, but hearing it as acoustic.
And I think Alice in Chains music really lends itself well to this format.
And Jar of Flies came out before this. So then they had already done some acoustic with Jar of Flies.
Yeah.
And so this is Rooster, Alice in Chains. Looking at this list, one that also jumps out at me, a little different era, Freak on a Leash by Korn.
Yeah, and yeah. I've got Korn on my list. Korn is,
I know.
And Korn had the singer from Evanescence doing a couple songs with her.
So when, what year was that?
Oh,
I'm gonna guess
94.
See, I stopped watching.
Let me see if I can see that. The Korn Unplugged album says 2007, but I'm sure that's,
yeah,
I imagine that's not.
No, Korn Unplugged is really good, and I think that you know, you need to watch it to get the full effect, because they have guys in like goat masks and weird stuff, and their singer is really good. What's his name?
Jonathan Davis.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
So Ruck, if you can. Not putting you on the spot here. Try to find Falling Away From Me on from Korn Unplugged.
Well, let's, before that,
yeah,
let's just finish Pearl Jam 1. We don't need to play Black because we all know that's amazing.
It's your favorite song. I'm surprised
but
you don't
State
want
of Loving Trust.
Yeah.
Unplugged was really good.
Yeah, not like my favorite Pearl Jam song, but when you watch Pearl Jam Unplugged and you see Eddie Vedder when he's that young,
yeah,
and the energy he had, you kind of remember what they were like back then.
What and song? Then they did not have Matt Cameron.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
So he started in 97.
Did you have a song you wanted me to play from
So do Pearl you Jam? Can you find State of Loving Trust?
Yeah.
So, is this it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And remember how Eddie would always look like that angry.
He was so
beginning.
Angry.
Yeah.
No, he drinks wine.
Yes. So this was like a B-side.
The thing that I was kind of mentioning earlier that I like about Unplugged is I feel like there's so much more insight into each of the musicians and their craft they have. So, like, you can hear the individual notes and strings being played on the guitar much more than if there was the distortion.
Yeah, so Stone does, he plays, you can hear him a lot more in Unplugged.
Yeah.
But then on the solos is where you really see when you can play that kind of solo on an acoustic guitar, that like he like MacReady would on an electric guitar.
Yeah.
Right.
That's some skill.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Speaking of, our son and daughter are taking guitar for an elective.
Are you talking about
Swap
Pat's daughter and your son?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Wasn't sure if there was a daughter you had that I was unaware of.
No. Well, I
makes me I, think about you being
I don't
a
think
girl
there
dad.
There hasn't been a knock on the door yet.
Anyways.
But listening to this, it just reminds me. Eddie Vedder, I'm going to just say this, he's a little weird now.
Yeah.
You know, but
we haven't.
But back then in the early 90s, he was just so different and so good and so angry.
Yeah. You know, he was on the Mariners the other night.
Well, I was at the game.
I know.
The Vedder Cup?
Yeah. So real quick, here's MacReady. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah.
And if you think about it on an acoustic. But, yeah, Vedder started talking, and I told Rowan, I go, hey. He goes, Dad, wouldn't you still want to meet him? I go, no, I don't know. I go, I just think that it, I go, I think he's kind of weird now. So I just don't want to meet him to ruin it.
You know what?
And he's 5 foot two.
He's entitled to be weird.
Not really, but he's 5'7", I think.
And then with that, back to that Alice in Chains album. I think my favorite song off of that is Nutshell, the one they opened with.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's see. We've heard something from Pearl Jam. We've heard something from Alice in Chains. What else do we
need to hear from? Stone Temple Pilots, too. Plush and Creep.
I thought Creep.
Creep.
Again, not my favorite Stone Temple Pilots song, but I thought it was great on Unplugged.
Okay, let's see if I can.
And then, man, I can't even. Don Henley?
So I wrote that down because he did his solo stuff, MTV Unplugged.
Okay.
Like The End of Innocence.
Yeah.
The Heart of the Matter. And I thought he was incredible.
Yeah.
And his solo stuff, I mean, he's got actually some good solo stuff. Yeah, he does. But it's not obviously
what he's like. What's the summer song?
Boys of Summer. I can't remember if he did that or not on that show. And what's the one he did that was...
Dirty Laundry?
Yes, that's the one. Yeah. Thank you for reading my mind there.
I also see that you've written down The Battle of Evermore.
That's what Jimmy Page and Robert Plant did.
That's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, this is Creep. No, this is Plush.
Plush.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this was the heart of where they were playing. You know, I think this summer I saw them that summer in over at the Gorge.
Yeah.
And Scott Weiland,
rest in peace.
He was still not going down that dark road too far, I don't think, right now. But like Clapton, too.
Oh yeah,
McCartney.
He did Clapton did Tears in Heaven. Yeah.
Jay-Z, LL Cool J, Lauryn Hill.
Yeah,
and hey, Fugees.
Don't sleep on 10,000 Maniacs.
What's the name of her? Of the band? Natalie
Merchant.
Okay.
And they did Because the Night.
And didn't she do a solo stuff?
She went solo right after that show. I think that was their last show.
Okay.
So actually, Ruck, pull that one up. That's a great song. If you can.
Are we still... Can you hear?
I can't hear very well. It could be me. Is that better?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's better. Oh, okay. It's way better.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I was doing? I was... sorry, listeners. We were having some technical difficulties. Our board that we use for this gets used for football, and so some settings are slightly off. So I was turning my own hearing down, thinking that it was too loud. And it wasn't doing anything, and I was actually turning yours down.
So. Oh man! Hey, but hey, this trip is this is a trip down memory lane with MTV Unplugged.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, what do we need to hear before moving on?
Well, can we do Because the Night, 10,000 Maniacs?
Okay,
and I even remember that song right now in my mind.
And that was a huge hit from MTV Unplugged. It's a great song.
I have Clapton up. Is there something you want to hear before I go to it, or no?
I think we're good.
Okay. 10,000.
I could always do Tears from Heaven.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't need to. Well, do you remember the movie?
We're gonna cry.
Do you remember the movie, though, that song was in with Jason Patrick and Jennifer Jason Leigh, Rush?
No.
They were, I believe, both undercover DEA, and they both got hooked on drugs. It was tragic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, here. This is it right here.
Man, nobody can sing like Natalie Merchant.
We never brought her.
I will die on that hill.
Did we bring her up on Female Artists?
No, we didn't.
And
listen to this voice.
Yeah,
she's good. Her band is 10,000 Maniacs?
Yes.
I've literally never heard of that.
Ever. Hey, our guest listener, Mr. Starkovich, Tim.
Seemed very offended
Tara,
by that.
Guess what?
You're
not
giving
here.
This song a one, aren't you?
And Tim is. Did you get that one, Swap? I said Tara's not here, but Tim is.
Yes, he's our new number one fan.
Yes, he is. Oh, that's awesome. Tara, you can suck it.
You know, this song, this is a great song.
I've heard this song, actually. Just not the unplugged version.
I'm interested to see, like, what did LL Cool J sing?
Mama said, "Knock you out."
Really?
100%. Oh, he did it. He was sweating his ass off. Yeah, wow. You should play that, Ruck.
Wow. And did you see Dylan?
So I don't even remember that, and I'm a big Dylan fan, but I do not remember that.
I would have loved to see Neil Young. And speaking of, Neil Young is playing tonight.
Oh,
I think in Woodinville. Yeah, Chateau
Saint Michel.
You saw Neil Young? What? No, you didn't. That's a lie.
This just says live. I don't know if this is actually it.
Check it out. All right, my man. Pots and pans, grits and gravy. Y'all ready, baby?
I have no idea what he just said.
Pots and pans, biscuits and gravy. I like the original version better. You know what? And even my son said this. He goes, "Dad, is it always like this where rappers are worse in concert than they are in the studio?"
No.
Compared to other...
No, because I saw Ice Cube and he was amazing.
Okay. Well, there's always exceptions. And Ice Cube and Dre and Snoop would be amazing.
So did we forget anybody here?
Well... How can you reach out to us, Ruck?
You can reach out to us at our email at theviewfromtherock@gmail.com or on our Instagram. You can DM us at the View from the Rock podcast. I mean, I see a lot of bands in there that we didn't play. Oh, did we want to play Corn Freak on a Leash?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. You know, I don't know if we did this justice or not. There's probably unplugged aficionados out there that are rolling over in their graves.
You know, I think that sometimes the point of these, like... If we're thinking about our audience, is we just need to educate, you know? I'm getting educated by you guys about this, so now if I'm curious, I can go listen to it, because we can't play every song.
Well, I invite you to go down a rabbit hole tonight.
We'll see about that.
So this is Korn.
He still has to see 15 movies.
This is Korn right now.
That we've suggested. Part of me. I know.
And listen to when the female comes in. Amy something.
It's so haunting.
Yeah. Keep it going, Rock.
Turned up.
Something's raped and taken from me. Life's gonna always be missing when me.
Listeners, if only you could see the frontman energy that Swap of Yellow Dog is showing right now.
That is exactly and his hand motions are just epic. Like what he's doing right now, or was. Just like in the classroom.
Listen to that, though. That is beautiful.
Her voice sounds like it's a violin playing spoken language.
Yeah. Sometimes I cannot feel my face. Do you know who she was with?
Evanescence?
No, as a... She was connected to the lead singer of Seether.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you know Seether, Ruck?
I've heard the name.
Oh. Come on.
Connected. Man.
Jesus. Please don't call me that.
So before we take a break, any last plays, artists that we wanted to...
I feel like I'm still on a Aussie Black Sabbath hangover.
Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. I thought about it when I was looking. I'm like, you know what? We should just do another Aussie. Just different songs that we haven't heard.
Well, I mean, what we talked about last time was that we could do Black Sabbath after he left, but I don't know that it would be that great. And so then we kind of said, well, what if we did the lead singer who did his solo act with like Rainbow in the Dark, Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah, we should definitely do an episode on Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah.
And I've said this before, but there's a statue of him in Hungary.
Oh, is he Hungarian?
I don't think so. That's how good he is.
They just felt his music spoke to them.
Oh, my God. I think it's time for a break.
Incredible. All right, listeners, we will see you on the other side of a break. Welcome back to the View from the Rock podcast. We are about to get into our beer of the week. And our beer of the week is a special beer that is made a journey all the way from Flagstaff, Arizona.
Wow.
Morgie, can you tell us a little bit about this special beer, maybe the story behind it, and we'll be ready to taste it and see what we compare it with.
So during the summer, when Rowan and that crew went to Flagstaff to run, Kelly and I went for 5 days. So I decided I was going to bring back a beer. So we toured 3 of their 8 breweries. Amazing food. I like the breweries. I'm still not in love with their beer, but it's better than no beer. So, well, anyway, so I picked up a 6-pack of this beer, and then I had one of the parents that drove the kids home bring it back. So
was that Mr. Ball?
Mr. Ball brought back this 6-pack of beer. This is a Flagstaff IPA from Lumberyard Brewing Company, and it's a West Coast IPA, and their claim to fame is it's brewed at 7,000 feet.
So Northern Arizona is the Lumberjacks.
Yep.
Now, the interesting part about brewing something at a different elevation is that's going to mess with your temperatures you're trying to get to, right?
Yes, but I have no idea how that works.
I mean, you're going to get to a temperature quicker than you think.
Yeah, 100%. Yes. Right? Yeah, I mean,
I didn't know there was going to be any science in today's podcast.
I mean, there's a reason why when we boil hot water when we're hiking, it's faster.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll be damned.
So this is a 6.1% ABV, and on the can, it has a picture of a trail from what's called Humphreys Peak, which is 12,633 feet high.
Oh,
to the Inner Basin Trail. We just had the greatest thing that ever happened in Yellow Dog Studios, by the way.
Oh, thank my you gosh.
To you too. Oh, my gosh. If I could just.
Someone almost died here on set.
We might need some ice. So anyway, Humphreys Peak, the highest point in Arizona, is a classic hike. From the summit, you can see all the way to the Grand Canyon. Tim, you just screwed up bad. The trail takes you through pine forests, tons of pine trees up there, by the way, and above the tree line, providing a truly unique Arizona experience. So
you're doing a great job reading this despite the giggling.
Oh, my goodness. So this beer is heavier-bodied ale with a higher bitterness. The blend of several varieties of American hops make this copper-colored ale especially pleasing. Especially, Ruck, I think for you, like you like a good pale ale.
Yeah.
Prominent hop aroma with citrus and floral notes. Hop emphasized with a firm bitterness. Oh my gosh. This is
You're almost there. You're almost there.
Scented by subtle malt sweetness. So, I'm done.
Do you want me to read the rest of it? I can do it.
You can. Yeah.
Okay. Clear body, clear copper body with a persistent and very frothy ivory head, caramelized grain, fruity citrus, pine notes of pungently bitter pine, grapefruit, caramel, and bread crust provide a decent malt backbone. Medium body, very resinous, and very bitter with a dry finish.
So what do you guys think? I tried this beer when I was in Flagstaff. I went to the brewery. What I found was in Flagstaff, This is the only West Coast IPA that I found in those breweries. They were all hazies, everything else. And I'm not a hazy guy.
And hazy can be pretty hit and miss if it gets pretty weedy. So I just tasted this, and I really like it. It's, I don't know if was it our last one we tried, or one of our last ones we tried is similar to this in the sort of maltiness that it had. Like it mentions here, a subtle malt sweetness. That finish I really like in an IPA. I don't know how super piney I would say it is. There's maybe some pine. What do you think, Swap?
You know, I like it. It's not my favorite beer, but it's drinkable. You know, maybe slightly better than drinkable.
So I brought this up when I was there, and Pat made a good, he made a good point, is that I don't think they're using Yakima hops.
I think the hops in Washington are better than the hops in Arizona.
I mean, Yakima is the hops capital of the world, so I think you're probably right. I would say that in this IPA, the hops don't actually, they don't come out in a way that makes it like hop forward, I guess I would say.
Well, there's not, you know, when you crack open a good Northwest IPA, you get the aroma.
Yeah.
And there's no aroma here.
It's true.
And when I was there, when I talked to the bartenders, every single one of them, they said, "Where are you from?" I go, "I'm from Seattle area, north of Seattle." And they're just like, "Oh, you got good beer up there."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Yeah, it's better than here."
The interesting part too is, you know, something like aroma, even if you don't have great hops, you can do some things in like your brewing process to get more aroma. Like doing dry hopping there at the end of a beer gives it a lot of those floral aromas we're used to. So, you know, it's also in part, I imagine, when you've got breweries there with people who aren't used to good IPAs, and if the weather's super hot, you're probably not looking for some good IPAs anyways.
Well, but Flagstaff is, you know, it didn't get above 90. Did Ruck just say dry hopping? Ruck said dry hopping, yes.
Yeah. You ever heard of dry hopping in IPA?
One of our...
Everybody loves a good dry hop.
I think there might be a dent somewhere in the Yellow Dog Studios, by the way.
Because of?
One of our guests decided that there wasn't enough IPA in the room and decided to throw one. And hit another guest in the head.
Oh, the dent is in the head.
I'm not going to name any names.
I thought you were saying there was a dent in the wall.
Well, there's a few from the kids when they were younger, but we're waiting till they leave before I refinish this room.
So, speaking of kids and when we were all kids, should we talk about school lunches?
Well, first, I want to see what Pat would pair this beer with.
Ooh.
Oh, that's
putting
right.
A lot of pressure on me here. Jeez. Let me take another drink, get some of the flavor notes here. Food truck. Oh. Mmm. I think Ross is on the right track there. I think I would pair this with a nice grilled cheese.
I was just going to say, yeah, that's what I thought in my head.
It tastes like Stemma.
Yeah, it does. It tastes like Stemma.
Oh, Stemma.
Yeah. So if you haven't been to Stemma, they have food trucks there. There's a grilled cheese food truck. I think it's called Burnt Side Down.
Yep.
And it's the best grilled cheese you're ever going to have.
And guess what?
What?
On the side, you can get tomato soup. Which is a funny story on a different day.
All right.
Hey, before we get into top three.
I'll just agree and say, if you've got anything sort of fatty, like, you know, cheese fatty, or if it's a burger, I think any of that goes well with this.
Before we have some breaking news. We are going to do another secret podcast.
We are.
Wow, you broke that to me right now also. That's cool.
We were talking about it. Were you not here?
You talked about it, but it was like I'd never heard you talk about it in the last year.
We do not have a date set.
No, but off the air.
Or venue.
We say a lot of things off the air that we wish we could say on the air, and I think that we need to do that in a venue where we can be heard.
Yep.
So.
And our goal is to pack the house.
That's right. So we're going to talk about that, and probably a date and location will be coming soon.
And, yes. You know, that probably means that we need to start to save up an excellent top three, musical selection, things like that. So if you've got something that you've been just waiting for us to do in a podcast, please make sure you reach out to us at our email at viewfromtherockpodcast@gmail.com or our Instagram. You can DM us, The View from the Rock Podcast.
So speaking of top three.
Top three.
What is our top three tonight?
Our top three is top three cafeteria foods at school.
I'm really excited about this one. Kind of a back to school edition.
I grew up not really having school food. I would get it like once or twice a month. I think on the special days, like when you knew. How about when you go on September 30th, and you get a blue piece of paper with October's menu.
That was magical. And
put that in your folder to take home.
Yeah, and you would have what was for lunch every day in October.
Yeah.
I would like circle the days to be like, this is the day I'll need hot lunch.
Me too.
Yeah.
Man, this is bringing back memories. So what elementary school did you go to?
I went to Island View.
So did I, but 2 years I spent at Whitney.
I spent 3 years at Whitney.
What? I spent 3 years at... let's see, K-1-2-3. 4 years at Whitney and then Island View.
So they went...
That's crazy.
K-1-2 only when we were there.
Yeah.
And then 3 through 6 at Island View.
So I went K... Wow, you went to Whitney for 4 years, Ruck?
Yeah. They had third grade there.
They did. They had third grade there when I was there.
Yes, that's four. They didn't have it. Now they don't even have school there.
No. I'm just shocked that the three of us all were on the same plan. Whitney first, followed by Island View.
And your mom, Ruck, was my librarian.
Really?
Yeah.
Nobody went to Whitney for 4 years, Ruck.
Ruck, when I was in kindergarten, I thought your mom was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen.
Still is.
Yep.
Oh, that's creepy.
Not really.
Tim tried to make that weird. Not creepy at all.
No. You want me to start?
Yeah, you start.
Hey, this is help from Swap.
So last time we did a top three, which was a top four, we actually started with our number one choice. Was that just a thing for that?
I think that was just for Ozzy.
That was our Ozzy era?
Okay. Yeah, so let's start with number three.
So my number three, and I stole this from Swap because I would have never forgot. I would have forgot. It's that nice scoop of rice that they give you, and then they put cinnamon and sugar on top.
What? I don't remember that.
Well, you were not even born.
I'm aware that when you were in elementary school, I was not born.
So they take this little scooper thing.
An ice cream scoop.
Yes.
Yes.
Big old thing, and it was just nice semicircle mound. And then it was cinnamon and sugar on top.
On the rice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the first thing that I ate.
That's my number two.
Okay.
But that was, I've heard that at other schools, kids could apportion their own sugar and cinnamon onto it.
Oh,
yeah. It must have been those rich schools.
But at our school, the lunch ladies would do that for us.
Yes. That was great. That's my number three.
I'll go to my number three. When they had the orange icing cinnamon roll with chili.
Oh, cinnamon rolls and chili.
It was delightful.
Wow. I forgot about that.
Me too.
What?
Yeah, I don't...
No, I think that only in Anacortes do people associate cinnamon rolls with chili.
I'm getting some looks from the audience that they have no idea about it.
No, we would get cinnamon roll and chili. I forgot about that.
Yeah, for lunch.
Well, I always didn't have hot lunch all the time, too. So I wouldn't pay attention to all the items. In
the flat tray. You've got a boat. You got a boat.
We never had boats. We had that flat tray with little...
They put the chili in the big flat section.
Yeah. That's probably a half inch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the surface area is not...
And the weird part to me too is that even though this was my idea of the chili and the cinnamon roll and it was good, how did someone come up with pairing those together? Because it's not like you're dipping the cinnamon roll in chili.
No, but
it's like you're eating the chili, but also eating the cinnamon roll.
It works.
Wow.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swap number three.
But no, we would have, sorry, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. We would have in the big, like the grand chamber of the tray.
Yeah.
Would be like a 3/4 inch deep layer of chili.
Wow.
Right?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. My number three, we talked about the ice cream scoop of rice. So mine is the ice cream scoop of mashed potatoes with super thin gravy. And on top of that, super thin turkey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
It was like, so, it was like a little kind of like a little miniature version of Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Yes. I have that later in my top three, but I think mine was different, a different version of a similar thing. So I won't elaborate. I'll wait.
Okay.
My number two. So this was good, but now that I think about it, I don't think it would have, it's really good now. But do you remember like the taco salad?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And you would get that in a boat.
Yeah. It was
just on chips, right?
Yes.
It was like a Frito Mandito.
You didn't like it? You don't remember it?
Somebody called a straw hat, maybe?
And it was like they did that scoop thing of the meat.
Wait a second. They call it a straw hat?
Do they?
Is that a racist?
Are you trying to make it racist?
No. But why did they call it a straw hat?
Should I ask?
What do you
What is?
Should I ask someone about that?
I'm asking.
I'm like, call it a baseball hat.
Straw hat. I'm not going to say anymore. Okay. Ruck, you're number two.
Sorry, I'm looking up straw hat.
All right.
So number two for me was, I don't know if Tony's existed back then, but for me it was Tony's, the square pizza with the the cubes of pepperoni on top.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that it's actually high quality pizza. In fact, I'm sure it's not. But I got down on that. That was good stuff.
Square Pizza Day was
everyone got that.
Day.
Yeah,
yeah. Square Pizza Day was where it was at.
I'll just get it over with. That was my number one.
Mine too.
That's all right. But just the little cubes of pepperoni.
Yeah.
It's almost like a. What would be that type of pizza that you would get at the store?
Totino's?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the square pizza, and it would be like the edges would kind of have that crispy, cheesy, crusty goodness.
Oh, yeah.
And the middle would be mushy.
Yes. And then there's the occasional kid that didn't eat the rest of his, and he'd give it to someone.
Oh, I know. And like if you played your cards right, you might get three.
Oh.
Pieces of square pizza.
Well, and normally,
if you knew the workers,
I know.
Well, I was going to say, give you a little more of
square
everything.
Pizza.
If you were a worker that week on that day, then you got some extra pizza. Oh, but also,
forgot about that.
They normally,
if you were ever lunch duty,
yeah,
yeah,
you could get some scoops of ranch also put on your plate and then dip the pizza in ranch.
Mm. So let's talk about lunch duty for a minute.
How did when you guys were kids, was that just a rotation? Or did you have to like earn it?
No, I think like once a month I would get a big giant sponge that probably wiped every orifice in the school.
Mm. Yes.
And they'd say, "Hey, Pat, wipe down table six." And I, you know, and there's a big six on the table and I'd wipe the crap out of it. And
yeah.
That sponge, I still remember the smell of the Whitney cafetorium.
I can't even remember where that would be.
Wait, that was all you did for lunch duty?
No, there were some people that actually helped.
I was going to say.
And then some did the cleanup.
God, it was a better world then.
I don't remember Whitney lunch duty. I only remember Island View lunch duty.
So Whitney, in my mind's eye, the cafetorium is this giant building. And I've been in there since, and it's the size of like a classroom.
Yeah.
But they would have like eight tables.
In the middle.
Yes. And you'd say, "Hey, you go clean table one." and then give you a sponge that was the size of Nairobi.
Yeah.
Was that Canfield?
Canfield was at Island View.
Yeah.
He was terrifying.
Scary man. But you would wipe down that table with his sponge, then you'd throw it like the custodian would have like a big mop bucket, and you throw the sponge in there. They were mopping the floor, and you're mopping the table. They're mopping the urinals, and you're wiping the table. You know, that's why nobody got sick.
Yeah. There used to be kids actually getting full swirlies.
I know.
Like, and not getting in that much trouble. I mean,
wait, kids actually got swirlies back in the day?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd come out of the bathroom and their hair would be in a little swirly pattern.
Yes. Like 100%. That's people crazy. Hold their legs up and head and flush the toilet.
That's wild.
Man, I miss a good school lunch. And remember the little tray where you'd get like occasionally get like a little corn or maybe peaches?
I remember the mixed fruit.
Mixed fruit.
Yes.
And it would come out of a can that was like a pony keg.
Yeah. Oh, the peaches and then the cherries.
Yeah.
Okay. Little.
And
a little square like pears.
Yeah. A pear that was in a square. And then here's the other thing is nobody hydrated then. Like everybody now has a water bottle. The only thing I drank all day was a little carton of chocolate milk.
Yes, that was a great point. Chocolate milk days weren't every day.
And now everybody has a water bottle. They're drinking like 14 liters of water every day.
I've never processed that. That's a good point. Everybody's hyper focused on hydration. No one cared about drinking water back then.
Although, only thing we drank all day was like 6 ounces of milk.
But also we had functional water fountains where everybody would get up to it and drink. And
so
sometimes too close.
You guys can back me up on this. The best water fountain I've ever seen anywhere in the world was right outside the main office at Anacortes Middle School. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was ice cold. The water didn't, the flow was not great. So I think everybody that went through Anacortes probably pressed their lips at some point onto the little phalange that overhung the flow of water. But that was the best water ever. I would go there on a weekend with my dad who taught there, and I just couldn't wait to drink the ice cold water. That was the iciest, coldest water.
Now they have water fill stations.
Water fill stations.
And no one, they're all afraid to drink out of the drinking fountain. Like in the gym. They're like, well, that water's bad. I'm like, it's the same water as your fill station.
Nobody will drink water out of a fountain anymore. That's all we did.
Back in my day, so I don't think we have the same middle school situation because they remodeled it after you guys. But the best water fountains in the school were the ones in the gym for the middle school and for the high school. They were just like ice cold, strong stream. That's where you had to go to get water. Swap, have you told us your number two yet?
Well, my number two has already been mentioned.
Yeah, rice.
It's the cinnamon sugar rice scoop. And then my number one is the square pizza.
And your number one is the square pizza, Jason?
Yes.
So I'll get to my number one.
Hold up. The number one listener.
No way.
Oh, our episode's just about ready to end. That's too bad.
No, we have. This is maybe the biggest moment in View from the Rock history right now.
We have a queen in the house.
Number one fan.
Tara. Yeah.
In the studio. Put the headphones on, Tara.
How does that sound?
That sounds good.
Does it sound amazing?
Yeah.
Number one fan is in the studio.
Yeah.
We're talking about school lunches.
From elementary school.
Oh, the square pizza.
Oh!
Yeah, she's right with us.
That was my number one.
That was my number one.
My number two. My number one is what you guys talked about, except for you said it was mashed potatoes, gravy, and then you put thin turkey over it. By the time I got to school, it was actually just turkey gravy. So the turkey and gravy had already been combined together, and it was like chunks of like real turkey kind of throughout it. So
and that was just over the top of the mashed potatoes.
Yep.
Can I give some honorable mentions here for school lunches?
Yeah, I don't have any.
Okay, so the middle school milkshake.
What?
And I have milkshake in air quotes. So back in
I don't remember that.
1985, we could go for 75 cents, get a milkshake, and it was basically the same chemical composition of a Wendy's Frosty.
Okay.
And then people would get French fries and dip their French fries in it. You're with me on that, aren't you? And the French fries, they didn't have a fryer situation there. So the French fries were really soggy. Huh. But they were magic. Also honorable mention, high school, the gyro, the gyro sandwiches. Do you remember those, Mr. Morgenthaler? Ross does.
I never
it was like
high school.
Like a really like super like a tortilla on steroids.
Yes.
With
but what year? Like your early years?
I'm talking like
you go out to eat.
Like 1988.
You didn't go out to eat as a senior?
As a senior, Pizza Factory, pizza bread.
Yeah.
But the gyro, which is not pronounced correct, but we were not cultured. So it was like roast beef with maybe some sprouts in there and some like a ranch dressing. And then you'd get some tater tots with it.
I'll be damned.
$1.25.
I don't know if I've got too much else other than since they didn't have a fryer, we would get the tater tots and they would just cook the hell out of it in the oven and they were the crispiest ever. I don't know how you could do that, but they did it.
Yeah.
Tater tots are an amazing.
The boys still eat the tots. They put them extra crispy in the oven here at the Morgie House.
Morgie House School Cafeteria.
Love a good tot.
Yep.
Okay. Well, you guys have anything else before we wrap it up?
That was a nice trip down memory lane.
Yeah. We'll let you know when we're the secret podcast part two.
Yeah. We have no idea at this point. We just have the intention of doing it, I guess.
It's going to happen, Ruck. So I'm just letting you know.
Okay. So listeners, just a reminder, you can find us anywhere, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. If you have things that you want to let us know that we messed up, let us know at our email at theviewfromtheruck@gmail.com or DM us on our Instagram, The View from the Rock Podcast. Until we see you next time, drive safe.